The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to James, please. James chapter 2. And we're going to read in just a moment, beginning in verse number 20. James chapter 2. And I appreciate Dr. Getch and in the next couple weeks, Dr. Shetler helping us again in Hebrews 11. But tonight we want to turn to James 2 as we're going to learn about the subject of a demonstrated faith. We're focusing on faith-building messages as we study the faith chapter, and tonight as we look at a portion of Scripture that defines what is biblical faith. And so stand, if you would, please, as we turn to James 2, and beginning in verse 20, and we're going to read verses 20 through 26 for our Scripture reading time tonight, and you'll find the outline for the message inside your Wednesday night prayer page. If you'd like to take some notes tonight, that would be fine as well. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of opening your word and learning about faith. Help us to grow in faith. Help us to learn more of faith. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It has been said that there are three kinds of faith. First, it has been said that there is a dead faith. That is, a faith that is in word only, but never manifests itself in one's life. Secondly, there is what is called a demonic faith, for even the devils believe and tremble. That is to say that it is, again, a statement. It may even be accompanied with emotion, but it is not truly, according to the biblical test, a real faith. And then thirdly, there is a dynamic faith. Dynamic faith is that faith that is born of God, that is exercised by a true believer, and that manifests itself with real fruit. And so when you think about different kinds of faith, tonight we want to learn about the dynamic, outpouring faith that is truly the evidence of God's Holy Spirit living in our lives. Now, faith alone, that is the dead faith or the demonic faith, will not bring revival to our church, will not bring change to America. It is only that dynamic, real faith that is working out of our lives that will bring change and that will please the Lord. And that dynamic faith is the working of the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that saves us. It's the Holy Spirit that prompts us to work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings forth real faith. Now, every one of us who are saved have been born again of the Holy Spirit. But not every one of us tonight who are saved are truly yielded to the Holy Spirit. And the tragedy is that someone who for one time of their life exercised a dynamic faith, who then becomes insensitive to the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit, now then that dynamic faith, that dynamism, is no longer evidence because he is no longer yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why the Bible says that we're to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so we must recognize the linkage between the Holy Spirit's prompting and the outworking of faith. It's the Holy Spirit that moves, and we must be obedient and yielded to the Holy Spirit. It reminds me of the story of some young boys that were in a parochial-type school, a private school, and every day they would recite what is commonly referred to as the Apostles' Creed. They would stand in a line, and each little boy had a part of the Apostles' Creed that he would say. And so the first boy would often say, I believe that God exists in three persons. And then he would sit down. Then another boy would stand up and he would say, I believe that Jesus is God's son. And another would say, I believe that Jesus died and rose again. And then another boy would say his part. And one day they were going through this whole thing and they were saying, I believe that Jesus exists, or that God exists in three persons. I believe that Jesus is God's son. I believe that he died and rose again. And then one boy said, he stood and said, the boy who believes in the Holy Spirit isn't here today. And when I heard that story, I thought, you know, how oftentimes we do not live our lives as though we believe in the Holy Spirit. We just kind of get into autopilot in the flesh, doing what we want, living how we want to live. And when that happens, the faith of God is not demonstrated the way that it could be. And so as James is writing this cyclical letter to the churches of Asia Minor, he is challenging them to have that dynamic faith, that kind of faith that is born of the Spirit, that is being lived out, the kind of faith that is really the evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, and that is indicative of the fact that they have truly been born again. And so tonight, let's learn about this demonstrated dynamic kind of faith. Notice, first of all, tonight, the demonstration of faith. And I want you to see the demonstration of faith that is it's mentioned in verse 21. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, if there has ever been the story of a demonstrated faith in the Bible, it really has to be one of the greatest of those stories was Abraham and Isaac. There's just so many volumes that could be written about this particular faith, the faith of this father by the name of Abraham. And notice, by faith he offered Isaac. The Bible tells us in verse 21 that he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. And what a tremendous faith this was. And you know the stories. They went up to Mount Moriah. You know that Isaac asked the question of his father on the way up the mount, Father, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And imagine the faith that Abraham had as he followed God up that hill and as he said, God will provide. Imagine the faith that Abraham had as he lifted that knife high above his son's body. Imagine that kind of faith. The Bible says in Romans 4 and verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, according to Romans chapter 4, verse number 2, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And we want to take note of the last phrase. For we see in that Romans 4, 2, there is one's justification before God, and there is one's justification before men. And I want you to understand that in God's eyes, some 40 years before he offered Isaac on the altar, he had already been justified by faith when God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldee, and by faith he followed God. And he was justified by faith. But his faith was truly seen in the outward working and demonstration of his obedience. And whether that meant in leaving home, whether that meant in the offering of Isaac, we see his faith being worked out. And so Romans chapter 4 and verse 2 is not saying that if Abraham were justified by works, it is not before God. What we see that is Abraham was justified by faith, but that his faith was expressed dynamically in his outward obedience. And so we come to verse 21 and we learn, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? His faith that worked was demonstrating that what took place in his heart when he believed God was real. Do you know why some people do not have fruit, and some people are not faithful in the things that are natural and normal to the Christian life? It is very, very simply stated, they were never truly saved by faith in the first place. Hence, there's never the outward manifestation of the inward presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, when you see fruit and when God lets you serve, thank him for that. And when you feel conviction of the Holy Spirit, thank him for that. That's the presence of God at work in your life. And so we see that Abraham, by faith, offered Isaac. And that was the demonstration of the fact that God was in his life, God was working within the heart of Abraham. Now, faith cannot be developed always in comfortable circumstances, and Abraham shows that to us. Abraham shows us that even in difficult times, even when we don't understand the equation that God has put before us, faith trusts God, faith follows God. You see, faith sees the invisible, faith hears the inaudible, faith believes that God can do anything but fail. One of the great Old Testament names of God is El Shaddai, which means the all-sufficient one, the all-sufficient one. And those who worship God in spirit and truth find him to be adequate for every need of our life. And even when we don't understand how something's going to be fulfilled, by faith we believe that God is able. And the scriptures say that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And whether it's your children, whether it's your business, whether it is some area of a challenge you're facing, whether it's a new building that we're now embarking upon, all of these things require faith if God will be pleased in the fulfillment of them. And so it was with Abraham that God put a test before him and that God required faith. Not that this was necessary so that Abraham could be saved. Abraham was justified when he believed God. But this would be the outward manifestation of that salvation. I think of the scripture which says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It does not say, work for your own salvation. You're already saved if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're working it out in the sense of a demonstrated faith. And so, by faith, Abraham offered Isaac. May I say this secondly? By faith, Abraham matured. By faith, Abraham matured. Now, that may sound strange at first, but let's follow the progression, if you would, in this text. Notice the Bible says in verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Now, if you've studied the scriptures often, you know the word perfect means complete or mature, right? And so the Bible tells us in verse number 22 that by works his faith was made perfect. By works his faith matured. The faith of Abraham brought works, and the works of Abraham brought greater faith, and that greater faith brought a greater maturity in his life. So as you trust the Lord day by day, as you trust the Lord in the small things, and in the next things, and in the next trial, and then during the times that you're unsure of what the future might be, as you just keep trusting the Lord, you're going to find that your faith is going to grow stronger and stronger along the way. Works join with our faith to demonstrate and to declare that the faith is real. But you cannot have works without real faith in the first place. And so it begins by faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. Faith and holiness are linked, and obeying the commands of God usually involves believing the promises of God. And so God says, give, and it shall be given. But someone's got to have faith to believe that in the first place. And then when they believe that and they express faith in that, then their faith will mature as God reveals his power in their life. Faith is the beginning point of scriptural maturity. Faith and works, William Booth said, should travel side by side, step answering to step, like the legs of men walking, first faith, then works, then faith again, then works again, until they can scarcely distinguish which one is the other. And so Abraham's faith was made perfect by obedience. I think of so many times as someone may begin to tithe for the first time, as a Bible college student comes to Bible college, as someone begins to pray for a lost friend. It's faith to believe that God will answer prayer. And then it's prayer of faith that saves the sick. And so we have faith to pray, and then we pray. And we have faith to pray, and then we pray. And we see God begin to work, and God begin to develop our lives, and God begin to answer prayer. And in the process of a working faith, you'll find a growing Christian. In the process of trusting God, you'll find someone who's growing in their lives. And so faith really is like a muscle. And what you'll find is simply this. If you don't use those muscles, then you're going to find that atrophy will set in. The muscles will atrophy. Oftentimes, in visiting the hospitals, you'll find someone, especially in a long-term care situation. You want them to get over the pneumonia. You want them to get over the disease of whatever sort. But when they begin to recover, one of the challenges is that because they haven't walked, because they haven't exercised their muscles, now they've got to go through the entire process again of just getting the fiber back in their muscles. And sometimes God will put something into your life by way of a trial. Maybe something your children are going through. Maybe something you're going through at work. Why? Because He wants you to exercise your muscle, your faith muscle. And so it is if you take that dumbbell and you come into your life and God says, here, I want you to carry this today. It's a sickness, it's a trial, it's a difficulty, but I want you to carry this today because it's something that you're going to need in your life. God says, I want you to carry this by faith, and I want you to trust me with this because you're going to get stronger through this process. Now, notice what it tells us in James chapter 1 for just a moment. Verse number 4, James 1, 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's read that together. Ready, begin. But let patience have. Now, you're a smart class tonight. This is Bible study. What does the word perfect mean? Complete or mature, right? So, let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect or mature or complete, wanting nothing. So, God says, now, here's the trial that's in your life. Here's the challenge. It's a challenge to trust me. It's a challenge to learn how to trust, a challenge to learn how to give, a challenge to learn how to go to the mission field, a challenge to learn how to be a soul winner. Here it is. Now God says, it's a little heavier than you're used to. It's going to take faith, Abraham. It's going to take faith, Rahab. It's going to take faith, Noah. You're going to have to trust me on this one. And I want you to just trust me on this. It's not going to be easy, but I want you to trust me. And the Bible says in verse number 4, but now let patience have her perfect work. Let this have its complete process. And a lot of times, here's what people say. They'll say, well, I'll try tithing, but it didn't work once. And they walk away from it. And their muscles never get stronger. And they remain a baby Christian for years and years and years. Sometimes someone says, well, I tried that praying during my difficulty. I tried it, but God didn't answer my prayer like I thought. And so they didn't let patience have its perfect work, its complete work. And because they gave up, their muscles atrophied, and they never became the strong Christian God designed them to become. Let, which means allow, patience to have its perfect work. I like the illustration of the washing machine. You look at the washing machine, and you'll find that there are certain cycles that the wash needs to go through. And you're going to go through, first of all, you're going to go through kind of a rinse. Then you're going to go through a wash. Then you're going to go through a spin. And maybe there's others that I'm not aware of. But I can tell you this. If you take your laundry and you put the soap in the laundry and you turn it on for a few minutes and you think, you know, that's clean enough. I've got things to do. I've got to go. And you pull that laundry out while it's still full of soap and you throw it in the dryer and you put it on your body, you are going to be one man or woman filled with a rash by the end of that next day from all that soap that's still in that garment. And for one simple reason, you rushed the washing machine. You pulled it out while the soap was still in it. And what you need to learn with faith, and what I need to learn with faith, is don't rush that washing machine. And don't throw down the exercise. And don't give up. Because you've got to let patience have its complete work if you're going to be complete. And you've got to be willing to let God develop the muscle of faith in your life. Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that God started something good in you the day you got saved? All right. Then he wants to finish that work in you. He wants to complete that work in you. But you've got to keep trusting the Lord. I like some of the songs we sang when I was a kid at camp, and one of them was just this little song. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. Do you know that song? Will you sing it with me? Because sometimes I forget the words after the first few verses, so help me with it. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky, or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. That's good enough. I know there's 19 choruses and connected attachments and such, but you get the point. I just keep trusting my Lord. I don't know what you're experiencing tonight, but I'm here to challenge you to keep trusting the Lord, to keep demonstrating that you believe in God. And so we see that if God would perfect Abraham's faith, He would perfect ours as well. And was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? This maturity of Isaac is of Abraham is measured by his faith in God. And your maturity will be measured by your faith in God. No one tonight is questioning whether you're saved. That's between you and the Lord. But the question is, how's your faith tonight? Nobody questioned Abraham's faith. It was obvious when a man would be willing to lay his son on the altar. How many of you would agree with me? This man is demonstrating incredible faith. But where's your faith tonight? What is it that God wants you to lay down on the altar? Is it your will? Is it your career? Is it your desire? What is it that God wants you to lay down by faith? And during what trial will it take for you to have a lapse of that faith? Lehman Strauss said, the Christian life from its commencement through its continuance and unto its consummation is one of faith. The faith always being manifested by the fruits of obedience and good works. I'm glad I'm a part of a church family that still has faith in God. I'm glad that we're not resting on our laurels. I'm glad we're not simply talking about what God did last decade, but we're trusting God to do something in this decade for His honor and His glory. You see, that's called faith. I just keep trusting my Lord, you see. And so it is the demonstration of faith that is the expression. It is the evidence of God's presence in our life. Notice, secondly, the declaration of faith. Now, in verse number 24, the Bible says, ye see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now, Abraham believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. But it is because of Abraham's demonstration that we know of his faith. It's because he left the Ur of the Chaldee. It's because he followed God. It's because he laid his son on the altar. All of us, oh yeah, Abraham is a mighty man of faith. His faith is declared by his works. And so it is in verse 24, the Bible says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So notice letter A, faith is declared by works. Faith is declared by works. Man cannot see your heart, they can only see your outward works. This community cannot see our heart, but they can see the buses that roll in their neighborhood. This community may not know our heart, but they can see our arms open wide and we're preparing for the future. There may be other countries that may not know the heart of all Americans, but they'll know that there are some who love them enough to support and send a missionary to their neighborhood. They see our faith evidenced by our love, by our gifts, and by our works. Giving cheerfully is the evidence of genuine love and faith. And that's why back in 1988, when we had no property, we had no building, I just simply sensed God was urging in my spirit that I needed to be a pastor of faith and we need to be a people of faith. And we had in 1988 what we called the Giving by Faith Banquet. And we gathered together that night with some 40 families and sacrificially gave $50,000 that purchased the property you're seated on right now this evening. And all of that began with some people who said, by faith, I'm just going to trust the Lord. By faith, I'm going to give to the Lord. Not knowing where we would go. Not knowing how God would put it all together. Not knowing that most of you would ever even be a part of Lancaster Baptist Church. There were 40 families that said, by faith, we're going to step out. And God's been blessing that faith ever since. And so you see, it's the declaration. Faith is declared by works. I think about every good thing that's ever happened at Lancaster Baptist Church, whether it's our missionary program, supporting over 200 missionaries by faith, promise, giving. Whether it has been in the realm of buildings, whether it has been in the realm of a Christian school, whether it has been in 1995 by faith establishing West Coast Baptist College, whether it was just by faith sending some college boys down to L.A. and by faith that Los Angeles Baptist Church began, and by faith to North Hollywood, the Victory Baptist Church, and by faith supporting so many other churches that have been started. I'm telling you tonight, every good thing that's happened at Lancaster Baptist Church has been because people said, I know it seems a little extra, it's a little heavier weight, I wasn't planning on it, but by faith we're going to trust the Lord. And Lancaster Baptist Church has become a stronger church because we've been a faith-filled church, you see. By faith. Faith is declared by works. James 2:24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And so it is. Faith lives under God by works. Faith lives under God by works. And works have their being and excellence from faith. And it is impossible to please God without faith. God doesn't want us bringing to Him those works that are apart from faith. He says, I want you to do that which is in faith pleasing to me. G. Campbell Morgan was born in 1863. He was born into an independent Baptist minister's home. And G. Campbell Morgan, at age 24, spoke a trial message at the Litchfield Road Church. And it was at that church that he was seeking ordination by the Methodist Council. That was his desire, was to be an ordained Methodist preacher at that time, and coming off the heels of the Wesleys and the great revivals of that era in England, it was the desire of his heart. After preaching his message, just like some of the young men will preach tomorrow at the Fine Arts, after his particular message, he was not deemed the winner, if you will. G. Campbell Morgan, who became one of the greatest British preachers of all time, at age 24, preached that message, and as he preached the message, he found that it was not received well by the council, and he wired his father a one-word message. He wired his father back home a message simply saying, rejected. He had gone before the council, he had preached his candidate's message, and he was rejected by the council. And that was the one word he sent to his father. His father wired back these words, rejected on earth, accepted in heaven. Rejected on earth, accepted in heaven. I want to tell you tonight about that rejected man, G. Campbell Morgan. He crossed the Atlantic Ocean 87 times preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in America and Europe. 87 times he crossed the Atlantic Ocean. Thousands upon thousands heard him at a little church known as Westminster Abbey, the burial grounds of David Livingstone, the worship place of royalty, was where G. Campbell Morgan ultimately found his parish, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because when he heard the word rejected, he didn't throw down the weight. When he heard the word rejected, his faith did not shrivel. I don't know what message of rejection the devil's giving you, and he gives them to me too. I'm just here tonight to be the cheerleader to say, just keep pressing on by faith. Just keep trusting God by faith. Don't give up tonight. You keep trusting your Lord. I just keep trusting my Lord. And I'm going to tell you, when you do that, God will develop your faith. You see, God is not merely interested in another building on this campus, but He's mightily interested in your heart trusting Him. And God is not interested in just another great career, but He's mighty interested in your heart being stronger for Him. God is looking for men and women who will develop a greater and a greater faith. And faith is developed by works. And then secondly, faith is displayed by works. Faith is displayed by works. Now for the moment, jump ahead to verse 26 and notice what it says. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead also. Let's say that together. Faith without works. Matthew 7:17. Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By Abraham's fruit we knew his faith. By Noah's fruit we knew his faith. By David's fruit we knew his faith. You show me a man's fruit, I'll show you a man's faith. Show me the lack of fruit, I'll show you the lack of faith. The more a man exercises faith in Christ, the more he is enabled to believe. The more he believes, the more he receives. The more he receives, the more he's able to work. Obedience is his delight, because to love God and to serve man is what comes forth from the heart of a man who's growing in faith. And so it is. The more he believes, the more he receives, the more he serves God by faith. Lehman Strauss said, "It is not what we say, but what we do that proves the quality of our faith. When faith is genuine, it will obey God no matter how great the cost." My greatest prayer for our church in these upcoming weeks is that we will be a people growing in faith, trusting God day by day, declaring our faith with our works for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the demonstration of faith, Abraham shows that we are justified, not before God, but we are justified before men by our faith. That's the demonstration. The declaration of faith is seen by our continual maturing works as we live for the Lord. Then notice thirdly tonight, the devotion of faith. The devotion of faith. Now I want to tell you something about true faith. True faith will always manifest itself in works of love. True faith will manifest itself in works of love. I don't know tonight what's going on in your family. In fact, let me ask this question. How many of you have teenagers tonight? Let me see where you are. Parents with teenagers, all right? Let me just illustrate it with the parents of teenagers. There are times when our teenagers can get to a point and we just scratch our head and go, "I don't know what's going on with this kid. I don't think I understand this." But guess what? Your son, your daughter, deserves a parent who believes in them. Who believes that God can do something in them. And when you have a heart of love, you're going to express your faith in love for them. And notice what it says here about this woman in the Bible named Rahab. Verse 25. "Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?" You know the story of Rahab. She was a Gentile. She was a citizen of Jericho. But God had touched her heart. And God had brought within her heart, by faith, an understanding of who he was. Though she was in a Gentile city, a walled city, a mighty city of the Gentiles, yet she had come to the position of believing in the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so I want you to notice, first of all, that Rahab had devotion to the God of Israel. And I want you to understand that that took faith for Rahab to have that devotion. The Bible tells us of it in Joshua 2 and verse 9. It may be in your notes. "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the Lord faint because of you." Let's just stop right there. Listen, how did she know that the Lord had given the land to them? How did she know that Joshua and his men were going to be victorious? You know how she knew that? By faith in God. She said, "I know that's what's going to happen." Verse 10, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did under the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." Now just pause here for just a moment. There were thousands of other people living in that city of Jericho. Thousands of other people who heard about the parting of the Red Sea, but they did not believe in the Lord. But Rahab did. Lots of other people heard, and lots of other people had the potential, just like lots of people in Lancaster tonight have heard about Jesus. But Rahab, by faith, was saved. Rahab put her faith in the Lord. Verse 11, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Now here we see the devotion of faith. By faith are you saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you heard the word of God, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." And Rahab, when God manifested himself to her, Rahab said, "I'm going to put my faith in the God of these people. I believe." And so our devotion to God manifests itself in our help to the people of God, in our help to the work of God. And it was this act of Rahab in the letting down of the spies that showed she truly believed. It was the manifestation. Faith without works is dead. How do we know the faith of Rahab? By the works of Rahab. How do we know the faith of this church family? By the works of this church family. Do we work to go to heaven? No. We're justified by our faith, but our works manifest that our faith is real. If you understand that, say amen tonight. And so we know that Rahab was real. Her faith was genuine because of the works that she manifested for her God. If that act had not been performed, the fact would have shown that her faith was not genuine, and she could not have been justified. But God saw her faith for what it was, and the world then saw it as well, because she demonstrated it in such a way. And secondly, we see it in her devotion to the people of God. We hear her testimony in Joshua 2, "The Lord your God, He is in heaven above." That's her devotion to God. But I want you to see this. When someone has faith, it's not only expressed in prayer to God, it's not only expressed in obedience to God, but it's also expressed in our devotion to other people. Now look at this, Joshua 2:15. And you know the story. It says, "Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may go your way." Rahab, in siding with these men, Rahab, in working on their behalf, was evidencing her faith. I've been to Jericho and seen the remains at the foundation of these walls. These walls, as some of you know, were wide enough to drive chariots around the top. These walls would require not just a little kite string, but these walls would require a broad band and would require strength and would require, at the heart of it all, the faith of a woman to believe that God could use her to do something great for Him. And I want to tell you something. It may be that you view yourself as insignificant and your faith is not necessary. But if God could use Rahab of Jericho, God can use your faith today, dear friend. You be available with what little rope you have. And you say, "God, I'm not much and I don't have much, but what I have, I'll throw it out the window for you. I'll do what you want me to do, God. Use me for your glory." Rahab turned her back on her religion and on her friends and on everything that was familiar to her in order that, like Abraham, she could follow God by faith. You see, James teaches us that faith alone saves, but faith that saves is not alone. It is always attended by good works. Faith alone saves. But faith that saves is not alone. Let's say that together. Faith alone saves. But faith that saves is not alone. One more time. Faith alone saves. But faith that saves, it's not alone. Now, someone that's not truly saved, they might go to church for a while. They might do some stuff for a while. But listen, if our faith is real, it's going to be evidenced in the life that we live. C.T. Studd said, "We will live 1,000 times sooner, die trusting only our God, than live trusting in man." We will 1,000 times sooner die trusting only our God, than live trusting man. May I just encourage you tonight, trust God. Only trust Him. Have faith in God. I think of Dr. Lee Robertson tonight, who pastored the great Highland Park Baptist Church for over 40 years. I think of the fact that they baptized 60,000 converts in that 40-year period of time. And I remember as he came here so often in the early years of our church, and I remember one of the things he said to me as I would ask him question after question. I would pick him up at the Los Angeles International Airport with a yellow pad filled with questions, and all the way from the airport to this place, we would talk, and I had that yellow pad filled with questions. And did you know that the most common answer that he gave to me after "Die to self and be filled with the Spirit," the second most common answer that he gave to me was simply this: "Have faith in God." Now, Dr. Robertson, how did you build those buildings in downtown Chattanooga? Have faith in God. Dr. Robertson, how did you stay 40 years through difficult times? Have faith in God. But Dr. Robertson, how did you get such a great staff to come and be there with you and have faith in God? Have faith in God. Dr. Robertson, how did you bury your little daughter Joy and keep on going and keep on preaching? Have faith in God. Dr. Robertson, how did you take on 400 missionaries? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Nothing great for God will ever happen until we are willing to exercise the muscle of faith and keep trusting the Lord and never throw it down. Never throw it down, but let patience have its perfect work. It may be something at your job. It may be something with your family. It may be the offering on March the 30th, but whatever it is, have faith in God. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Let's be a church with a working faith to the glory of God. Let's pray together.